Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we pray that we, the hearers of your word, will find in Christ strength to persevere through the difficulties of this life with confident assurance that those hardships are temporary, while the glory Christ has prepared for us is eternal. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I think most of you will agree with me that at times it can seem that something is never going to end. Sometimes it's something small, like waiting in traffic, or for a cold to go away. It just seems to linger on and on and on. But sometimes it's something more serious, like struggling with depression and feeling the cloud will never lift, missing a loved one and feeling as if loneliness will never go away. Sometimes we find ourselves are the source of that weariness, as we see ourselves falling into the same sinful problems over and over again, and begin to feel our struggle against sin will never end. In today's gospel, Jesus has a message about things that will never end and things that will come to an end. Now, to fully appreciate what is happening in the gospel, we first need to rewind a little bit, about 8 days. Our reading begins with these words: "Now, about 8 days after these sayings," which naturally makes us wonder what had been said 8 days earlier. And if we look back, we find that about 8 days before the transfiguration, Jesus had asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And of course, Peter had responded with the great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. Well, so far, so good. But what Jesus said next must have sounded anything but good to the disciples, because Jesus continued saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Now, a lot for the disciples to take in, wouldn't you say? Being raised must have sounded really mysterious to them, at least at that time. But the part about being killed, that was very clear. They understood that part. And they barely had time to begin digesting that message about what lay ahead for Jesus when he followed it up with some difficult words about what lay ahead for them. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." That was what lay ahead for these men. Their Messiah would be killed, and they would have lives of daily cross-bearing, which means daily dying. Now, that's a sobering message, isn't it? What that really was, that really what all this was leading up to? Were cross-bearing and dying all Jesus and his disciples had to look forward to? After all, if I was to come to you and say, hey, come follow me, and if you do, you're going to have to bear a cross every single day, and that means that you're going to die every single day, I wonder how many would follow me. I dare say none. Now, with that background, let's now fast forward 8 days from that conversation to the events of our gospel lesson. Jesus takes Peter, John, and James up on a mountain to pray, and what they see there is like nothing they had ever seen before. Jesus is transfigured, meaning that his appearance changes. His clothes became dazzling white, and even the appearance of his face changes. Matthew's account tells us that Jesus' face shone like the sun. And I'm sure that all of us have sometime in our life looked directly at the sun and realized just how bright that really was. And there with Jesus are Moses and Elijah, two great heroes of the faith from centuries past. So what is all the significance of all this? Well, Jesus is giving his disciples a much needed lesson in things that will last and things that will not last. This revelation of Jesus in his divine glory is an affirmation for the disciples that just as Peter had confessed 8 days earlier, Jesus truly is the Christ, the promised one. And to leave no doubt, God the Father said on the mountain, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And why do the disciples need that message at this time? So that they can know that suffering and death will not be the end for Jesus. This one who will suffer and die is the Son of the living God, and death cannot hold him. As the disciples are seeing with their own eyes, Jesus is the light of the world, the light that darkness cannot overcome. Yes, he will suffer and die, but suffering and death cannot and will not be the end for this one who now stands before them, radiant in divine majesty. Nor will cross-bearing and death be the end for Jesus' disciples. The living presence of Moses and Elijah on the mountain testifies to the glorious future that awaits all who abide in the faith. Moses had gone through a great deal in his life, and very few prophets had experienced more opposition than Elijah. But that hardship had not lasted. What had lasted was their fellowship with the living Lord. Moses and Elijah had passed through this temporary trials of this life into eternal joys at God's right hand. And so it is for all who believe. As seen in Moses and Elijah, suffering is not the end for those who trust in the Lord. Moses and Elijah had passed through the temporary trials of this life into eternal joys at God's right hand. And so it is for all who believe. who believe. As seen in Moses and Elijah, suffering is not the end for those who trust in the Lord. Instead, a crown of life awaits. Now, does that promise of glory mean, though, that the cross-bearing can somehow be skipped over? Just as we might sometimes wish we could follow Jesus without taking up our crosses, Peter also seems to have hoped along those lines as he offered to build tents for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah so that they could all stay on the mountain. Now, Peter's wish is understandable. Sometimes we don't want things in life to end. It says in our text that Peter did not understand what he was saying. And we've all had times like that, haven't we? When something was so great that we just didn't want it to end. For instance, when the Cardinals won the World Series on a home run. Just didn't want that moment to end. Another moment was just a few minutes ago. I didn't want the choir to quit singing. They are always singing so beautiful, and today was no exception. I just wanted you to continue on. As he said, it was good for them to be there. But Jesus had something even better in mind. He was set on gaining for Peter, James, and John and us not just a moment or day of glory, but joy unending. Luke tells us that on the mountain, Moses and Elijah spoke with Jesus of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. It was for that departure that Jesus went back down the mountain. Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration with his disciples so that he could be lifted up for them and us on Mount Calvary. There he suffered for us so that all of our suffering will not last. He died on the cross for our sins, so that sin and death will not be the end for us. And he rose from the dead to proclaim that good news that he has made the way for us through death into life eternal. As glorious as the transfiguration was, that day's temporary glory was simply a sign pointing ahead to a greater glory. In the Transfiguration, we see a preview of the unending glory that Christ secured for us on the cross. In the Transfiguration, Jesus gave his disciples a glimpse of his glory, but he also taught them that he would not finally and fully enter his glory until he had suffered and died for us. Suffering would precede glory. The disciples who witnessed the transfiguration went on later to experience that same sequence themselves. First suffering, then glory. As Peter, James, and John took up their crosses and followed after Jesus, they suffered a great deal for their faith. James was the first of the 12 disciples to be martyred, killed with a sword at the order of King Herod. History records that Peter was later crucified under Roman Emperor Nero, and John was sent into exile on the island of Patmos for his dedication to Christ and his word. And if my memory serves me correct on theological history, all the other disciples died martyrs' deaths also. You see, these witnesses of Jesus' glory bore heavy crosses in this life, but no more. They are now in paradise worshiping the Lord with Moses, Elijah, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. The peace and the joy they now have will never be taken away. And it is theirs because Jesus suffered and died for them and us on the cross before entering his glory. Our suffering will come to an end and will be followed by a glorious life without end. At times, it may seem as if the hardships of this fallen world will never end. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who has suffered with us and for us, knows exactly how that feels. But my friends, take heart. The Lord who accompanied his disciples back down the Mount of Transfiguration into the sun-filled, chaotic messiness of this world will also be with you in whatever hardships you face. And the Lord who has lifted up on the Mount Calvary for you has, by his death and resurrection, ensured that those hardships will not last. They will come to an end and be replaced by everlasting peace and joy. His kingdom that has no end. God said, "This is my Son. Listen to him." Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.